First Corinthians chapter number 8. We're going to start reading in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Paul's been speaking about difficulties in the church, if you remember in our outlines, and he's dealing with our personal walk, and we saw Paul's exhortation, and we saw, first of all, in the matter of marriage in chapter number 7. That's what we talked about last time. And now, we're going to look here in chapter number 8. He talks about the matter of marriage, and now he's going to talk about the matter of meats, the matter of meats. And why he's talking about these things is because, obviously, and we've already read the verse here in Corinthians, the folks there at the church at Corinth had written Paul a letter, and they were asking questions. And Paul's addressing these questions according to the letter that they had written to him. And he covered the matter of marriage. He's going to get back to that later, a few other words to say about it. But now he goes on to this matter of meat. So let me explain that situation, what he's talking about. There in the city of Corinth, they had all these many false temples, which we've talked about already. And in all these false temples, what they would do is they would take, their false priest would take these different animals, and they would sacrifice the animals. But then they would take the meat of those animals and send it down to the marketplace, because you didn't waste the good meat, and they would send down the meat to the marketplace, and they would sell it. And that's where they got their meat from. Now, to the Jews, this wasn't a ordeal to them at all, because back then, just as today, for an Orthodox Jew, they will only eat things that are kosher. They won't eat things, you know, unless they've gone through some special prayers and a lot of specifics according to their laws and things that they had. But the church at Corinth wasn't made up of mostly Jews. It was made up mostly of Gentiles. And they were going to the marketplace and buying their meat and having a meal, and they would have church fellowships, feast of charity, like we do. And all of a sudden, the Jewish converts sitting in there in these church services were had a big old, piece of steak in their mouth, and it was talked about, do you know that that came from the marketplace, which was offered to the idols? And they'd spit it out, right? We can't eat this. And then they got in a big argument at church, you know, can you eat the meat? It was dedicated to the false gods. That's a good question, right? No. Well, back then it was a really good question, all right? It is a good question. You're going to see why in a minute, all right? But they had this, you know, this conversation, you know, well, what should be done? Someone said, well, let's add that in the letter. Well, that's Paul. We'll see what Paul says about it. So Paul's addressing now this matter of meat. And so that's what we're looking at here in 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's stand one more time, if you're able to, as you read the scriptures in chapter number 8 and in verse number 1. It says this, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some, with conscience of the idol unto this hour, eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee, which hath knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. Father, I pray that, Lord, you just please take this opportunity now to look at your word to teach us and to instruct us in our walk with you. God, I pray that, Lord, you'd help us in this area, that, Lord, as the application is so powerful for us tonight. I pray, God, Lord, you just speak to us now and open our eyes that we would behold wondrous things out of thy law. Give us all an open heart and give us understanding. And Father, I just pray the Holy Spirit would teach us as only he can do. And in your name I do pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. So again, they ask this letter and they say, now how does this affect us? Can we eat these different meats that are offered? You say, all right, Paul's going to address the issue. He addressed the issue, but this is 2018. We don't buy our meat from, temples that were using that animal initially to sacrifice to some false god. This doesn't apply to us. Well, actually, it applies to us in great and wonderful ways in this, that we live in a Gentile world. We live in a world where everything is dedicated to the lust of this world. You can't get around it. Everything is. I mean, you go to the grocery store. I'll tell you one reason why whoever started and owns that grocery store, whoever's in charge of Kroger's, who Mr. Meyer, and whoever it may be, they have one goal in life. It's to get your money. Right? That's it. That's all they want. All right? You say, no, they have yellow tags. They love me. Right? No. All right? They're just drawing you in because they want your money. All right? That lust of money is driving them, and they will sell whatever they need to sell to make that money. And no matter what it is, all right, it's driving them. All right? Whatever the case may be, there's all out there in the world. It is just a lust-driven world that we live in. You live in this world. And you can't avoid it. I remember when I was a kid, there was this big thing that no one, it went around with all the churches, And I was really young, but everyone's like, no more going to Marriott motels. I never went to Marriott anyways, right? But no going to Marriott motels because the Mormons owned them. And they did. They still might. I don't know. All right? They owned them. So all these Baptist preachers went around and said, don't go to Marriott motels. They may quit going to Marriott. I don't know who was going to Marriott motels, but they were, right? And they quit because the Mormons owned it. Then, this is awesome, the Mormons bought Coca-Cola. The protest wasn't as strong, man, right? Some people said it, but I was like, well, can't stop everything, right? Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to boycott the hotel you can't afford, but don't take my Coke, man, right? Then all that happened, right? And, recently, right, a lot of people around you can't go to Starbucks, right? Now, I don't drink coffee, so I don't really care where you get your coffee, right? But, and you may not go to Starbucks. That's awesome if you don't go to Starbucks, right? That's fine. That's what we're talking about, all right? That's fine. Some people may not want to. Others, you may go there every day of your life. This is a little newsflash for you. If you don't want to support anything that goes towards something you don't agree, good luck. Good luck with that, right? I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to live in a corner somewhere with all the lights off, all right? And probably someone owns your mortgage that you don't appreciate. I'm telling you that too, all right? You can't get away from this. So where do you draw this line? Now, I'm all for taking stands. I mean, I think our voice ought to be heard when it needs to be heard. And I think that's a wonderful thing. But at the same time, we live in a very lust-driven, sin-driven world. I don't know whether you know this or not, if you have a Holman Bible. Holman Bibles are owned by a company, the same company that prints pornographic magazines. There you go. Just stop and consider, right? Now, all of you, I just lost all of you because you're all like, well, no. Right? Oh, no, right? No, my point is this, all right? No matter the world that we live in, I mean, you hire someone to come in and blacktop, they're probably not going to be dressed right when they blacktop this summer, right? I mean, where do you draw all your lines at? I mean, it's not just, that's what all this conversation was about. Y'all with me? I mean, I at least got your attention because you're scared to death now about some of your Bibles, right? Yeah, all right? It's okay, I promise. All right, we'll get through that. But the fact is this, we live in that world. And how this applies to us today is when we start answering questions like this. There are some people who will look at you and say you should not have a television in your home. Some people sit there and say, well, you can have a television because you can control it and you can guard what you watch. In case you're wondering, I have a television in my home, all right, but I can control it. I can turn it off. Now, I'll tell you this. If I or someone in my family starts watching stuff they should not watch, we will throw it out because I'm not going to let it control me. But there may be others who say you shouldn't even have a television in your home. If they do, that's awesome. My daddy told me this when I was very young, and I always was in my mind. He always made this phrase. He said, everything you do, do it for the glory of God, and never criticize someone with a higher standard than you. And I'll pass that bit of knowledge on to you, because that's important. If someone has a higher standard than you, amen for that. Don't criticize it. If that's what God told them to do, awesome. Amen. Awesome. I'll give you a for instance, right? Fairhaven was here this morning. I have a maroon dress shirt I wear, but I wouldn't wear it there. You only wear white shirts and light blue shirts, dress shirts, all right? Everything else is just too modern. That's what they believe. That's fine. So I will not wear that shirt up there. I don't have a problem with that. No, I don't have a problem wearing a maroon shirt. But if that's their conviction, I encourage them 100%. You stand with that. And I will not criticize it. That's what they want to do. Amen. But I will tell you this, something else my daddy taught me. When they have a higher standard, you better ask yourself, should you? You better ask yourself, should I? Now, all that matters is this book. This is what it comes down to. And if I ever come across this piece of scripture that says to me that I only ought to wear a white dress shirt, then I will only wear a white dress shirt. Your question, and I understand if you're all interested, and I want to lose you on that too. All right, when you're in charge of a college, you have to draw a line pretty high, otherwise it gets abused. So that's why you draw that line, right? Some of you don't care, but that's why you do that. All right, but in any case, everyone has a standard. Everybody has a standard. There was one time I was with a public school teacher, and they were talking about our school. I was sitting here. We were having a conversation. Not like talking bad about it. We were just having a conversation. And they were asking me questions. We were in an office somewhere, an appointment. And they were just saying, so your school, what do they do here? How do they teach us? She was just picking my brain. And so what kind of dress standard do you have? Do you have uniforms? And I said, no, we don't have uniforms. But I gave them our dress standard. And she said, well, we don't have any dress standards. I said, oh, yeah, you do. She goes, no, we don't have any dress standards. I said, everyone has a dress standard. No, we really don't. So your student can come in naked. Well, of course not. Well, everyone has a dress standard. Right? Everybody, you can say everybody's got a standard. I don't care who you are. Everybody's got a standard. And all that matters is where you're going to draw that line. And for us as believers, this book is everything. And so they're asking this question. So what do we do? You say, well, right, we don't do the meat thing. This doesn't apply to us at all. Oh, it applies to us in all kinds of areas. It applies to us, and this is the biblical principles that determine things like dress and our entertainment and the music that we listen to and the concerts that you go to. And I say that, right? Most hypocritical guy ever, right? I took our kids to a field trip this week. Man. I scheduled to take our high school. I teach the handbells, trying to get them some music. So we get an hour field trip down at the Cincinnati Symphony Orchestra, right? And it's all about how music expresses different emotions. And so we go in, and it starts, and it's beautiful, man. They put these adjectives on this big screen. Now, which piece of music did this apply to? You know, and it was awesome, and it matched up. And all of a sudden, they bring out dancers and rappers. And for the last 30 minutes, they rapped with the symphony. All these kids are looking at me like, When it's over, we're all making our way to the bus, and one of the boys looks at me and goes, did you expect that? Yeah. Yeah, totally. Why do you think I brought you? Totally. Totally knew this was coming, right? Yeah. Of course not. Right? Yeah. So, I say that, but I'm a hypocrite. I guess there was this girl, she turned 18 that day, and I announced in the bus, I was like, Sierra, happy birthday for your 18th birthday. I took you to your first rap concert. You know, she was very appreciative. So were her parents. They were great, all right? But, you know, you never know, right? But how do we determine? You know, do you go to the theaters and watch a movie? Boy, you all got quiet really quick on me there, yeah? Uh-huh. Right? This is what that's talking about right here. This is what it's talking about. These matters that, you know, is it a big deal? Does it matter? You know, and this is what this chapter is about. So for us as Christians, all that matters is this book. Oh, you're not aiming in near as much as you were 5 minutes ago. Because I obviously stepped on somebody's toe. All right, so we'll go back. All that matters is what this book says. Amen. So let's study this together now, all right? And let's see, all right, why? I mean, I know they're not offering at Kroger's our meat to some false god. So in the Bible, we find out how to handle this. That is not what's going on, but it's in God's Word because this is something for us. Because how do we handle situations that maybe the world is using in, for their own purpose, but how do we handle it as believers? When really, some can do it and some maybe choose not to do it. Well, what is right? And so we'll get this now. Ready? Number one, this matters of me. You see a primary problem in verses 1 through 3. And first of all, in verses 1 through 2, you see the substance of it all. And in verse number 1 here, we have everyone has a point. It says there in verse number 1, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. You know what Paul's saying is everyone here has an opinion. Everybody has settled on something that they think is right. I don't care whether we're talking about whether a Christian should drink alcohol, and by the way, there's plenty of scriptures that say you should not even look at the stuff, much less drink it, alright? But in any case, you know, well, all these different areas, right? And how do we handle it as a believer? How do we talk about it? And what Paul's saying is this is everybody has a point. Everybody already has knowledge. Everybody has a standard. It says we know that we all have knowledge. Everybody has come to a conclusion. I mean, should you go to is it okay to go to a concert where they're going to sing, you know, sacred hymns? Amazing Grace, played by Christians that are extremely conservative. Is that okay to go to? I think all of us can say amen. That's fine, right? You're all scared to death. I'm going to trap you into something, right? I'm not, all right? Yes, that's fine. We all agree with that. It's no problem. So then we'll take it a step further. Can you go to a classical concert that's not going to have rappers and any dancers? Yes, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. Now, you may sit there and say, I don't think you should. Well, then don't. That's great. Now I'll criticize you. Take it a step further. How about, Southern Gospel concert? Or how about a straight bluegrass concert? How about a country western concert? How about a rock concert? How about a very dark, demonic, goth concert? I think everyone in this room is like, no, that's wicked, right? All right, so we went from one extreme to the other. Well, where's that line? And the fact is, everybody in this room has knowledge. Everybody has made a decision. You have already, in your mind, answered that question. How you see that. That's what Paul's saying. You all have knowledge. So everyone has a point. Number two, everyone has pride. Second part of verse number one, knowledge puffeth up. Everybody has a point, and everybody thinks they're right. Right? delayed. Don't be like, no. Yes! We all think we're right. Whatever our point that we, otherwise you wouldn't have come to that point. Little newsflash. I'm not trying to trick you. You wouldn't think that if you didn't think you were right, right? So everyone has knowledge and everybody thinks that, you know, I'm right. I've made my decision and my decision is the right one. Otherwise I would have never made that decision. And then what happens as soon as someone steps on our toe on that, obviously lost a lot of you when I talked about the movie house, right? So I'll go back to that because I love prodding you. Alright, we'll go back to that, alright? Some of you think, you know, it's okay. Some of you think, I'll never go. Alright? Where your stand is. And if I were to say now I'm going to preach for the next 45 minutes on why you shouldn't go, some of you just got mad. Because where we take our stand, pride kicks in. Don't you dare tell me I'm wrong. I'm right. I will not change my opinion on this. Everyone has knowledge. Everyone thinks they're right. And when we have settled on something, that knowledge puffeth up. Then we start, we always have the right attack then, right? Legalist, right? Yeah, right, legalist. All the case there, whatever the case may be, whatever you want to say, right? But the fact is this, knowledge puffeth up, and we all want to, we got very offended. We don't want no one to tell us that we're wrong. You see the danger here. We all think that we've arrived. Knowledge puffeth up. We live in a world of knowledge. I mean, we live in a world of knowledge. I mean, you got phones that can answer every question you ask it now, right? I mean, it's crazy. Homework sometimes, you know, sometimes I like giving the kids a question. You're like, you all need to find this out, find the answer. You know, I asked them today who the Secretary of State is, which I didn't know. I said, well, you need to find that out. Now, when I was a kid and you had to find it out, that took like 30 minutes of my life to find that out. Some of them did it while they were walking to the car. Hey, Siri, who's the Secretary of State? Done. Right? I mean, we live in a world of knowledge. And so because of that, wherever you've taken your stand on whatever the area may be, some of you are still stuck on music, some of you are stuck on theaters, in whatever the case may be, right? But wherever you're taking your stand, you'll find somebody that agrees with you. Matter of fact, you'll find lots of people that agree with you. No matter where you take that stand. If you take the stand that you should only go to our sacred classical hymn concert, or if you take that stand with their Southern Gospel or a classical concert or folk singing or bluegrass or whatever it may be, you will find an independent Baptist that agrees with you. You'll find them. Because we have so much knowledge out there, you can find somebody that will agree with you on everything. I mean, they're out there and they're full of knowledge. And we all think we're right, and here's the problem. Here's the key to the whole sermon. We forget about the most important part of our decisions. Love. Love for God. Love for other people. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And give you a simple illustration. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? There was the priest and the Levite who walked by the guy that was half dead. And he's laying there dying. The priest and the Levite had all kinds of knowledge. They could quote more scripture than you know and I know. They could answer, they would kill us at Old Testament history. They had knowledge. They didn't have love. Because love made the Samaritan man kneel down next to that guy hurting and helped him out. And your decision making, wherever you've taken your stand and whatever decision you make, that's fine. You and God get alone with that and make your decision. But what ought to drive your decision is this, love. Wherever you take that stand that we've talked about, if love is the motivation for that, you're going to take the right stand. So what do you mean? If your job and your motivation is because I make this stand because I love God,
and I want God to be honored in my life because I love Him, it affects that decision. And it affects it with your love for other people, because I'm not going to go to some concerts and I'm not going to go to some places. You know, Yankee Doodle is not a bad song, but I might not go to a folk art concert because there might be someone in the church that used to go to that, where they sit around and play cards and stuff like that, and now that would draw them back in the wrong place, and I don't want to lead them down the wrong path. So my love for other people makes me make decisions. You say, well, I'm going because I like that. Knowledge puffeth up. When it's about what I want, well, that changes where I draw my line. We'll go back to the theater thing, right? Right? I don't go. I've never been in one. I don't go. And you say, well, why not? I can give you a couple of reasons. One, because you may know now, and I know it's different than what it used to be. I gave you that. But you don't control nothing in that room. And they can show you whatever preview they want to, and you're stuck watching it. You can't turn it off. Now, in my home, I got a button that I can control everything that's shown on my TV. I control it. But I can't control that situation's out of my control. And all it takes for my kids is one flash of one wrong picture. That I didn't have control over. So you got to be real careful here. And I don't go because I choose again my love for God. I don't want to put something out of my control in front of me, and my love for people. Those kids on my bus route, if I went to there, they wouldn't care. They would not care. Matter of fact, they'd probably think it's kind of cool that Mr. Burke, I don't know why they call me Mr. Burke, but I'm Mr. Burke. They would think it's cool that Mr. Burke was in the theater, probably. But I don't go because my love for God, I want to control. And I don't go because it would bother him greatly. And it would bother you. It would bother Brother Larry Wilson. It'd bother Brother Sutherland. So I don't go because, number one, my love for God. Number two, my love for people. It makes my choices easy. I don't want to offend people. Well, that shouldn't be the reason. Did you just read the same scripture I did? If it can cause your brother to be a stumbling block to them, then Paul said, I'll never eat meat again. That's what it is. That's what you just read. When it comes about, when it all comes down to this, my love for God and my love for people, it affects where you draw your line. Well, I'm going because I want to watch that. Knowledge puffeth up. That's a powerful verse, isn't it? That's an interesting verse right there. That affects how we make our decisions. We'll go on. You see the substance of it. Everyone has a point and everyone has pride. Then you see the solution to it in verse number... I just kind of skipped the deception of it in verse number 2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, yet as he ought to know. That's an interesting verse, and basically just saying this. If you think you know it and you've arrived and you don't need to learn anything else, you have a lot to learn. We're all still growing. And I'll also throw this. They had a big debate recently. Did you know that there is a bunch of Christian schools in Ohio, and they're all in this one big organization, the Buckeye Christian School Organization. And our school is part of that. And it's really important because we have a representative who sits on the board meetings of the Ohio Board of Education. That's awesome. So we get an ear, we get updated with all the rules, the laws, how it affects us, all the requirements, so we are all completely legal. And it's really good. we ever have a problem. You know, Reba had an issue getting into a college. They were fighting around that. I called our guy, made some phone calls. She's in, right? It was a battle, but we got it. We won, right? You know, and so I appreciate this organization. Did you know you're looking at the newest board member? Oh, yeah, I've hit the big time, man. Hit the big time. But the reason, one of the reasons why I was nominated, which I didn't know I was nominated, in the last meeting I was like, what? And they put me on this board because the chairman is very conservative. Not every Christian school in the state of Ohio that's part of this is super conservative. And they were pushing back on some issues, such as dress and some areas of music and things like that. They were talking about maybe we should change. So guess who the chairman decided he wanted on the board, right? Yeah. A conservative pastor, you're looking at him, right? So I was kind of pushed in this position to help take some stand on some things, which I'm good with. And I was happy to do so. But there's a constant erosion trying to happen. To maintain a line is a constant battle. And if we don't stand and continue to try to stand, things will begin to slip. And our motivation behind everything has to be just this. So again, you see the substance of it. Everyone has a point. Everyone has pride. You see the solution to it in verse number 3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. You know how, you know what ought to affect all of our decision is this. I want everyone to know who I love. If any man love God, the same is known of him. So you know how I decide what concert to go to? You know how I decide what clothes to put on? You know how I decide what entertainment to go to? You know how I make, you know what needs to base this decision? Is I want the world to know. I want the lost world to know. I want my brothers and sisters in church to know. I love God. And if there's some way that this will erode my testimony in that, then I want to stay far from it. Then I don't want that to affect my testimony. So I make my decision based upon the fact that I want the world to know, I want my brothers and sisters to know, the one thing about them, that I love God. So I don't drink alcohol because I want everyone to know I don't, not even doubt, I love God. I make different decisions in my life because I don't allow things on my television screen. I don't allow certain things because I want the world to know that I love God. I want my family to know I love God. I want you to know I love God. That ought to be our driving factor in life and our motivation, that I want the world to know who I love. That's why the Bible says the love of Christ does what? Constraineth me. There are certain things that I have complete liberty to do that I choose not to do because I love God. I love Him. So you see here the primary problem, then you see the potential problem in verse 4 and 5. You see a fact in verse number 4. It says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. You see a fact, first of all, that the pagans are devoted to this. We know that an idol is just a piece of wood. Now, let's put ourselves back in these shoes, right? Should we eat this meat that's being offered to these false gods? Well, we know as Christians, there is no other God. We know as Christians that those idols that they're sacrificing these animals to, those wooden sculptures, those gold sculptures, they're not real. They're not dedicating it to anyone. It's non-existent. We know that. We understand that that's not, you know, whatever false god that is, I will say Athena. There is no Athena. There is no Athena god living in the cloud somewhere. Doesn't exist. We know there is only one God. And we know that. So if they want to say, hey, this cow, this giant ribeye steak was first dedicated to Athena, there is no Athena. Pass the barbecue sauce. I mean, we know that. We understand that. In verse number 4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol's nothing. And that there is no other God but one. Now we know that. But there are thousands of people that are bowing down and worshiping Athena, and to them, she's real. To them, she's real. So while I have complete liberty to eat the ribeye, because there is no Athena, to some people that may watch, to them, she's real. And I may hinder them greatly by me doing this. So I have to be extremely careful. You know what things come down to is this, that while I know that there's no false god Athena and she has no influence in my life whatsoever, she totally controls them. A non-existent creature totally controls their life. Their whole life is based upon worshiping that false god. And it does control them. I'll give you an easy for instance, okay? I'm just trying to be real practical. Everybody with me still? You good? All right? My grandpa Hudson, at one time, before he got saved and everything, he drank alcohol. Did you know I didn't know that till like 8 years ago? I didn't know that. And he told me about everything, told me about it and his testimony and where he got saved and what he got saved out of. And to him, did you know, he won't even drink a root beer, man. I love root beer. I love root beer. Now, if you don't, I don't criticize you. But I love root beer, right? Thank you, Miss Donna, right? Yeah, good. All right? It's good. Tastes good, right? But to him, it has the name, he's not even going to drink it. That has nothing to do with that, right? I can't imagine. Rachel, can you imagine walking into Papa Hudson's house carrying an IBC bottle? Even in the state he's in, he would kill you. Yes. I mean, just, no. Not a chance. But if me and Rachel, if I go to her house, she probably has a case of them sitting in there, and she may open one up, me and her drinking IBC root beer, right? Now, some of you are like, that's heathen. Then don't do it, right? But you don't have a problem with her, Rachel, right? She's a heathen, all right? So, no, neither do I, right? Neither do I. There, I don't care. I don't care. But I'm not, say whatever you want to, I'm not going to drink one driving down the road. Because while me and Rachel sitting in her house, it's a root beer, man. Nothing wrong with it whatsoever. But to the dude driving down the road, something to that. You've got to be careful, because I can't offend people. I just saw the pastor of Cazadale driving down the road with a beer bottle in his hand, right? Like my worst decision ever as pastor when I passed out the t-shirts at the first parade, right? We went through Goshen handing out Gazette Baptist Temple t-shirts. The next week I saw people walking out of bars with Gazette Baptist Temple t-shirts. I'm like, that was dumb. Oh, yeah. Mistake number one. And, all right, I've never repeated that mistake, all right? Careful who you pass t-shirts out to, all right? But in any case, right? Because your testimony, you have to guard that. The kids are going down here pretty soon to the theme parks in Florida. We're going down there, and there's one theme park that has a beverage called Butterbeer. And there's nothing alcoholic in that. I've heard that it tastes fine and good, but I already told them, because I know them, how wicked they are. And I said, don't even ask. Because you're not going to walk through a theme park, because that the way it's served and everything just looks completely wrong. I said, don't even ask. One of them started to say, but there's nothing wrong. Don't even ask. Because the people walking around you know. You see, the people around you as a Christian, it affects your decisions. It affects the decisions that you make because your love for God and your love for people, you have to be very careful that the cause of Christ is not hindered in any way. So you see here this fact, but then you see the fallacy in verse number 5. I'll hurry. I won't finish tonight, so don't panic. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. You see here a fallacy. We have to be careful because there's a lot of potential for a lot of people to get hurt here. Because while things do not have any sway in my life, I've never had alcohol. It has no attraction to me. I know the dangers of it. I've seen how it's destroyed lives. I detest it. It has no draw to me. I can walk past an aisle at the grocery store, and I don't look at it. I could care less about it. I told my Sunday school class the other day, when you're walking through Myers down here, there's been times I forgot, oh yeah, I had to get some cheese. I can cut through that aisle and just look, go on through and have no draw, no effect to me whatsoever. But that's not true for other people in this auditorium. You have to steer away from that, and that's, I have my own vices of things I can't do. We all have past and things that affect us in different ways. But I can tell you this, that while I myself can cut through that aisle and go get a pack of cheese and go to the cash register and cash out, if I was walking with certain people that I know have been down through that struggle, I'll do whatever it takes to avoid anywhere near that for their sake. Because while that God didn't have control in my life, it has control in many other people's lives. Are you following me? And that's what the verse says there. It says, for though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords. Now, we know there's only one God, but that's not the case for other people out there. It has control of them. So you see here the potential problem. So we have to be careful because of the potential at hurting other people. Then you see the practical problem in verses 6 through 11. As a wise believer, and I'm going to wrap this up real quick. As a wise believer in verse number 6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. We as believers should be focused on one thing, our God. So that should focus and be my drive in every decision. As a wise believer, I understand this. I have one God that I need to answer to. But, verses 7 through 11 here, there are many weak brothers. And you have their conscience in verse number 7 and 8. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled, but meat commendeth us not to God. For neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Now we know, we see first of all for our weak brother, his conscience there in verse number 7 and 8, to them it was their master. To us, we know it made me nothing. It has no sway whatsoever in our life, but to them it did. What Paul's trying to tell the church here is that, listen, that meat, if you want to eat that meat in the privacy of your home, you know there's only one God. There is no false God. And eat your ribeye. But if they're having some feast out there and this has been celebrating and you welcome to the town square, which they did in Corinth, and they brought in and they said, here is the meat that was offered to whatever goddess, and we are celebrating her existence by eating this meal in her honor. While you know there's no God, Athena, while you know there's no false goddess there, but you better not go sit at that table celebrating that, because you're about to trip up a lot of people. There's going to be people to say, oh, I thought you were a Christian. You have freedom to put on whatever clothes you want to tomorrow. But we ought to dress in a way that doesn't make people say, I thought you were a Christian. You have the freedom to go watch whatever you want to out there, but we ought to not be involved in things that people say, wait a second, you go there, I thought you were a Christian. Now, what we may choose to do in our personal lives, you have liberty to do a lot of different things. But because of the testimony and the conscience of people that are either lost or weak, there are certain decisions that we make in affecting that. Having a TV or not having a TV will not make you closer to God in any way, just as having a radio in your car or not having a radio car, both can be used for evil things. But the fact is this, when you're driving down the road, if you're listening to some songs that people look at you and they think to themselves, I thought that person went to Gazette Baptist Temple. I thought that person loved the Lord. And something's coming out of your car, or you walk out of a theater that's been showing something, and all of a sudden, someone says, wait a second, and you're hurting the testimony of God, then you stay away from it. You stay far from it. You see, the weak brother, his conscience, and you see his confusion in verse 9 and 10. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hath knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? You know why Travis Burke doesn't go to a theater? Not because I can go now and know no doubt what I'm watching. I can go in and know exactly what movie I'm about to watch. I can't control the previews, and I can't control the other things, which is the one reason why I don't go in. But I'll tell you, just reading that scripture, another reason why I don't. Because should I walk out of that place, and someone who just got saved, who's trying to grow in the Lord and get away from that lifestyle, sees the pastor walking out of that place, then they're going to be more emboldened to go back to that place. Where my life should be something that draws people away from the world. And I'm not just talking about the pastor right now. That every one of your lives ought to be something that draws people away from the world. And if we're doing things that emboldens people to go back to that, then we're wrong. Because the weak brother will look and say, well, I didn't think I should go to places like that, but Brother Sutherland's coming out of there, so I guess I can too. That's exactly what he's talking about. We're emboldening people to go the wrong direction. You thought it was just going to be about me, didn't you? Right? That's why it's in the scriptures. So we make these decisions being very careful of the weak brother or the lost brother because of how it's going to affect them. It will confuse them. It will begin to cause them to stumble. So you see his conscience, his confusion, and then his condemnation in verse number 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. He said, church member, what if you sitting down at that in that plaza in that city eating that piece of meat which was offered to some false god affects somebody in the church that they've been witnessing to who's getting close to getting saved, but then they see you sitting there and they sit there and say, well, if he can sit here, I guess it's not a big deal, and they end up not getting saved because of this because they started heading back the other direction. And that person perished who Christ died for because of your decision to do what you wanted to do. God forbid. You say, me and my simple decisions in these life isn't going to affect people. Yes, it does. You have family members that know you are what you say you are that are lost. And they're watching you. You have coworkers that know you're a Christian and they're watching you. And it does affect them. We close verse 12 and 13, a profound problem. I've skipped a lot, but we're trying to just wrap it up. You have a profound problem in verse 12 and 13. You have Paul's charge in verse number 12. But when ye so sin against the brethren, I'll pause there and say this. You have complete liberty to eat the ribeye. You have complete liberty to go to whatever concert you want to. You have complete liberty to put on whatever pair of clothes you want to. You have complete liberty to go to whatever movie house you want to. You have complete liberty. If you want to go get drunk tonight, you have complete liberty to do that. No one's going to force you not to. But if you do something in your life that causes other people to stumble, you have sinned. That's what the verse says. You've sinned. And I'll just throw this out there. If you sitting in this auditorium know the preaching and the standards of the church as a member of the church, it's like, I'm doing what I want to do. You're causing me to stumble. But you are. Because my flesh gets mad at you. I'm wicked, man. I'm telling you. You're causing our young Christians to stumble. You are. And that's wrong. Paul's charge is this: if you're hindering others, you're sinning against Christ. But when you so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Everybody see that? That's a pretty serious accusation. So what's the conclusion? Paul's choice, verse 13. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. So you know what choice I'm going to make, Paul said? The choice that I know is safe. I'm going to live my life so not to offend and cause someone to fall. Because I love God and I love them. Yeah, but I really want to. Knowledge puffs up, man. But love edifieth. Love draws everybody closer to the Lord. It affects everything.